Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Have you actually longed to take a workshop with an instructor or maybe a workshop on a certain technique, but those workshops are not available by that person or about that technique where you are? You know, maybe not in your hometown, maybe not even at the shows you go to. There might not be taught. Well, there are fantastic places to learn that are not in person. They're online. And one of the big sites that's out there right now is Craftsy.com. And Craftsy has an amazing array of workshops, and they are so well done. I know because I've taken them. So I wanted to get somebody on the show to tell us about the site, about what they're offering, so that you can go out and learn something new. And it's always an amazing thing to do. I have got the Craftsy VP of Lifestyle Content, Emily Lawrence, here, and she's going to tell us a little bit about it. Welcome to the show, Emily.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Pat.
So how did Craftsy start? And let me spell it for people who may not know what I'm actually saying. It's Craft, Craftsy.com.
Yeah, so Craftsy launched in June of 2011, so we're coming up on 2 years old, but not quite there yet. And originally, the company, the parent company Simpose, was founded as an online learning destination by a bunch of really, really smart engineers formerly who had been involved in eBay. And so they brought sort of online marketing and social media savvy to the education space. And they thought, huh, we would really like to create a platform that makes online learning easier and social and community-driven. So to that end, they created a player where you could load video lessons into the player, and these video lessons would be designed specifically for the online experience in HD. And those classes, the player, would allow students to interact with other students and get feedback from their instructor asynchronously. And what that means is that you're getting feedback, but not at the same time that in the same place. So, for example, on your Facebook page, when you write a comment or post a photo, and then 5 minutes later, 20 minutes later, 3 hours later, or 3 days later, you get comments from your friends all around the world, you know, you're not expecting that somebody will necessarily write back at that very instant, but you are expecting that somebody will give you some kind of information, and they will respond to what you've posted. And that's the same sort of idea that's at work on the platform for Craftsy. So if I have a question about something that's happening in one of my lessons, say I'm watching someone put together a particular block and I'm doing it at home and my points don't match. Mm-hmm. Well, I can pause the video and at that exact moment I can say, oh, your points look great, my points look terrible. I can upload a photo of what I'm working on. So I can just take a picture with my iPhone, load it onto the platform right there, and then anyone who is watching the class after me has the opportunity to see my comment and say, oh, I know what happened. You need to pick this out here, and you need to redo this part, or, you know, your measurements were off or something. And my question also goes into the instructor's queue. And the instructors log on to the platform several times a week and answer questions. And those questions and answers are sort of seen by the entire class community. So what that means is that I have the benefit of learning from my peers, and the people who don't ask the questions have the benefit of learning from the questions that I ask, but none of us have to be in the same place. And I think it's that interactivity and the ability to, you know, share and learn over those photos and do it in a way that is very, very linked to the content in the video that makes the online learning experience that Craftsy's built a little bit different than some of the other things that are out there. So
it's also very structured too, isn't it, Emily? Because the classes have segments. Almost everybody has different segments to their workshops. And you can sort of walk through it.
Sure, yeah. So we actually have a couple of different kinds of learning opportunities on Craftsy. One is a workshop. And for us, a workshop is actually a photo-driven tutorial with a pattern. But our classes are very in-depth. So they're typically something around 4 hours worth of edited video content, and that's delivered in something like 8 video lessons. And mm-hmm. so you have, you know, 8 half-hour lessons or something like that. Sometimes they're a little shorter, sometimes they're a little bit longer. And each video lesson is chapterized. So that if I know that I want to go to the lesson on a particular block, I can navigate straight to that. Or if I know that I want to go to the lesson on, you know, on assembling the quilt, I can do that, or a certain kind of binding. I can also use a search feature on the site to search both the keywords in the video and come up with the sort of moments in the video where we might mention, for example, binding, or we might mention, you know, feasible applique or something. Mm-hmm. I can search my entire class and go directly to the moment in the class where the instructor talks about that. I can also search the comments and questions and bring up a whole list of all the other times that those keywords are mentioned in the class. And so it's like the online class is indexed, and that means that the information continues to grow over time, which is really exciting, and I can kind of go back and find exactly what it is that I need. We also have a feature called video notes, where I'm watching the class and, you know, somebody mentions something or mentions a particular pattern and I think, oh, I really want to remember that. I can take a note at that moment and just say, remember to go check out that book because I want to use the pattern that she references. And then I don't have to search for it. I can just, at the end of the class or any time, go to my list of notes, click on it, and it'll take me exactly to the moment in the video where we talk about that. So I don't have to search through or scrub through, you know, 4 hours worth of video content.
Right.
I can really take all that information into my own hands and use what I need, which I think is what's so exciting about an online class.
And you do a lot of this taping on location. You've gone out to people's studios. Do you have any fun stories about going out to tape one of the shows?
Well, we've had lots and lots of hijinks. I'd say at this point, you know, Craftsy is based in Denver, and we have studios here in Denver where we film. But as you mentioned, we do go on location quite a bit. And I remember a summer and a half ago, we went up to Wisconsin to tape with Wendy Butler Burns, and it was a really sort of hot summer out there. And Wendy has this gorgeous, gorgeous studio on, and her house is on a lake. And so we were taping long days, and we would just sort of look out her studio window and see this incredibly inviting lake. And for the first day, you know, we got done filming a little bit late, and we just felt like we wanted to get something to eat, and we weren't going to go swimming. But the second day, we had been looking at that pond the entire time, and we thought, this is the moment. This is our chance. Exactly. Yeah. So, and we had gone down and eaten lunch by the side of the water, and we were so excited. So, you know, we wrap with Wendy for the day, and we take off in our little van, and we sort of go up to the little public beach, and we have our swimsuits, and we have our towels, and we're just thrilled to dive in. And as we're walking up, we see this little sign that says, caution, parasites. And the pond had been closed due to parasites. It was like being in a lower ring of hell, I have to say, because there we were, and we could see this glorious, glorious water, and we knew that if we went in, things would be bad for us. So we've gotten to go to lots of places and see some really amazing studios, and I think it's always such a beautiful thing to get to see where people work. That said, the more classes we take, the more people get to come to Denver as well. And that's really, really fun to be able to have people in our neck of the woods.
And another thing that's out there on your site that I want to get in before we, you know, before we run out of time, is mm-hmm. that you have a lot of sharing opportunities for people, a lot of community building besides taking the workshop. People can mm-hmm. share what they've made, period. You know,
Absolutely.
Any kind of projects. And you're not just quilting things. You have baking, you have gardening, knitting.
Absolutely. You'd be amazed at how many people who love to sew and quilt are also incredible cake decorators. So if you go onto our site and look at the projects page, people get to sort of post images of the things that they're making. And it's incredibly inspiring to see how skilled the people who are both taking our class and are just members of the broader craft community. I mean, people are really making incredible stuff, and it makes you feel really good when maybe you've posted something and people have the opportunity to heart what you've made. And so you may be sort of off, you know, at the store or the grocery store and get a little, if I posted a project, and you may have your iPhone or your device sort of buzz a little bit because somebody has just commented on your picture and said mm-hmm. how much they love it and how inspiring it is. And you can even link to the pattern that you use to make a particular project. So I should say that there's another element of this site, which is a patterns marketplace. And Craftsy does not charge our pattern sellers anything at all to be in that marketplace. We really want the patterns marketplace to be a somewhere where creative people who make and write wonderful patterns can mm-hmm. post them, can have a lot of people look at them, and can have lots and lots of people, you know, purchase those patterns. It's an instant download when someone purchases the pattern, so it's a lot more sort of low touch for the pattern
right.
writer.
Right.
And then that money is automatically deposited, 100% of it, into the pattern seller's account, and they get sort of a PayPal check, and that's mm-hmm. how it goes. So it's really exciting. I love to see the community of designers really starting to grow and evolve, and I love knowing that people who are making really incredible designs and patterns have a way to profit from that in a pretty meaningful way.
Well, and Emily, I want to be sure everybody realizes that you have some free things so that if they've never tried this kind of format, they can just go to craftsy.com and they can take a free class. They can actually download a free pattern. So you have some people put out free patterns so they can explore mm-hmm. your whole thing before committing to purchasing classes, which stay out there forever.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you bring up a great point, which is that once somebody purchases a Craftsy class, they have access to that content forever. They don't have to start it at any particular time. They don't have to end it and leave the class at any given time. Our classes all come with the patterns for mm-hmm. the projects that we make in our classes. There are theory classes and technique classes and pattern-based project classes. And as you mentioned, we do have a number of free classes. And in quilting in particular, Amy Gibson, who I know you've spoken yep. with, we had right. A really, really great block of the month in right. 2012 with her, and that's still available on the site. You can even sort of quilt along with that sampler project with Leah Day and another class right. that we have. Laura Nouns did our 2013 block of the month, which is a really great project as well. And then we have a class, a free mini class, and these classes are shorter. They're generally about 90 minutes, and as you said, they're free. Right. And they do not have instructor interaction, but you can get feedback from and comments from, you know, all of your classmates. So we've got a class called Sewing Machine 911 that helps people sort of troubleshoot any issues they might be having with their sewing machine. We have another free class on sort of designing the back of your quilt with Elizabeth Hartman.
Emily, this is so great. This is so great, but we're out of time.
Please, yes. It's been so wonderful talking to you, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you. Everybody go visit craftsy.com. Check it out. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We'll be right back after the break.
Win free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chant, with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Deb Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Parts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my. Kissing Booth by Basic Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, Boys or Girls Club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I have got Australian designer Sarah Filkey here. I always love catching up with Sarah. Sarah has got the most fantastic, lively, fresh, spunky quilts. I just love her quilts. I want to make all of them. She loves handwork. She loves piecing. She loves applique. And everything is done with this incredible, fresh look to it that I think is really enjoyable. She also does workshops in Australia, where she's from, and she does workshops online at Craftsy, which we just learned about. So I'm going to find out all the new things going on with Sarah. Good morning, Sarah, over there in Australia.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you. What a lovely introduction.
I'm so excited that you have these new things going on. You have a new book, you have this new online workshop, and you have new fabric. It's like everything just happened at once.
Yeah. Well, I've been working very hard for the last couple of years, and it's just kind of worked out that everything's all launched at the same time, which is fun because there's a bit of a storm going on, which is...
Right. It's like I started looking and I'm thinking, wow, she's been a busy girl. Why don't we first start with your fabric? It's called On the Pond. Is it available now?
It is available. Unfortunately, it's only available in Australia and New Zealand. What I've done is I've designed this range for Spotlight, which is a company kind of like Joann's. And I was in between fabric companies and they came to me and asked if I would design a range. And I thought, well, yeah, that would be really fun. And it's gone so well. We just can't believe it. It's really exciting. It's all over the place. If you are in the States and you want to buy it, you can get it from my website. Okay. I have a very small amount available and the postage actually isn't too bad. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's a little bit different than the previous ranges I did, which were for Lisian in Japan, mm-hmm. in that I really wanted to get back to doing what I really love, which is really bright, fun, funky, fresh, mm-hmm. you know, just fun fabric that everybody will want to use. And so I really hope that that's what it is.
It's got the aquas in it and the pinks and the great greens. What's the kind of inspiration behind the title, On the Pond?
On the Pond. Well, the print that I actually started out with was a lily print. It's a really beautiful kind of water lily looking. I hand draw and hand paint all of my artwork. I don't do anything on computer. So it's this kind of hand-painted lily. And I'd had it hanging around for a little while and I thought that would be a really great feature. And then I started, you know, brainstorming a little bit about all the things that might go with a lily. So we've ended up, we have little fish.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, frog's eggs. The frog's eggs are just my absolute favorite. They're little black and white ones. Mm-hmm. So like graphic looking black and white print. And then there's like little multicolored, like rainbow frog's eggs, mm-hmm. which I just absolutely love. And we have a check, and but it's all got a really nice kind of painterly, hand-painted looking feel to it without being, you know, too soft. It's quite bright and funky because, you know, that's what I like, Pat.
I know. It's great. You put combinations together that just are like, just make me drool, really. And you're doing a free block of the month, but people can get that on Facebook.
Yes, that's right. They can. They can go to the Spotlight Australia Facebook page, which is not normally available overseas, but they have opened it up especially for the block of the month because they know that I have people all over who are going to want to have a look. It's completely free. Every 2 weeks there's a new pattern for 6 fortnights, and it makes up into a quilt with 24 blocks. And if you can't for some reason get to the spotlight page, you can go to my blog and there's a redirect there where you can download it. Okay. So that's great. And it's free, which is really good.
Yeah, that's fun. So people can get a chance to see your style and how you put things together. And your page is Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, Filke, F-I-E-L-K-E, as one word, .com. So tell me about your class at Craftsy, because, you know, you don't travel everywhere. Obviously, none of us do. So, you know, people can have a chance. It's called to work with you and see your techniques. It's big techniques from small scraps. Who doesn't have small scraps, Sarah?
Well, that's what I figured. Yeah. My last book, Quilting from Little Things, which we talked about on the show a little while ago, was all about, we started with a dolly quilt. They're in pairs. Right. So there's a little tiny quilt, a doll quilt, and then a big quilt from the same technique. And so I thought it would be really fun for Craftsy to use that same idea, because people have really loved making the small quilts to try something out. So we have, there's 6 completely new quilts, so they're not ones from the book or anything, all with a different technique. And there are some quite traditional techniques, like some hand applique and things like that, although, you know, people who take the class will find I don't do things in a very traditional way. So it might be traditional hand applique, but it's done using some interesting tools like a silver gel pen and a HERA marker and a few other things you might not think you use for applique. Some aluminium foil.
Yeah. Be aluminum for us here in the US.
So things you might not expect. And then there are some more funky kind of deconstructed quilts that you can make, so little dolls and houses and some curves, piecing curves without pins.
Oh, okay.
Really exciting, everybody. So completely free form, no templates, no pins, cutting a curve with your rotary cutter without even looking and sewing them together, which is freaking people out, but they're absolutely loving it. And look, I mean, I just love doing these Craftsy classes. I mean, I just have nothing but praise for Craftsy, that the classes are so well put together and it's so easy to use and the platform's so much fun. I'm on every day and I can chat to the students and I can see what they're working on. It's just absolutely fantastic. I'm having a blast with it.
And you came to the U.S. to film that one, because we were talking to Emily about filming. Like, sometimes they go on location and then, of course, they have a studio in Denver. So you were actually taped in the U.S.,
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I came to Denver. I come to the US once or twice a year now. I'm doing a fair bit more teaching in the US, which is really exciting and I just love. It's really nice for me to be able to come and you know, tackle a few things together. I come to Quilt Market, I might go do something for Craftsy, and then I'll come and do some teaching and then I can go home. So it doesn't make it quite so far when I do it that way.
Right, you can get a lot of things in on one trip.
Yes, exactly. It makes it very busy, and I do get home and collapse a little bit, but it's good fun. I really love it.
And you do have another book that you're working on. It'll be coming out about when?
Okay, so it's released in the US on the 14th of March. It's called Hand Quilted with Love.
Okay.
So it's not about hand quilting, just hand quilting. It's about all sorts of things. It just means that I love hand quilting.
Yes.
There are 16 projects, and they're just all quilts I have been wanting to make for ages. So there's no kind of real theme to this book. It's just about, look, I really love quilting and I want you guys to love it too. And that's kind of always the theme of my my books anyway. So you can see it at my website, and it's also up for pre-order on a lot of websites. So you can go to your local quilt shop on the 14th of March.
Fabulous, fabulous. I've got a sneak peek. You sent me a couple pictures of the quilts, and they are great. I already see several favorites. You even have one that's for the guys.
I do.
Yes.
I love to throw one in there for the boys, you know. It's good to have
Well,
one.
You have boys. You're like a whole house full of boys, right?
I do, and you can't have everything pink because they don't like it so much. So.
I don't understand that, but, you know, okay. You know, every once in a while.
That's human.
So, well, let's talk a little bit about how you buy fabric, because I love the way that you combine so many sort of bold prints, unusual prints, and I think you and I are very similar, is that we don't just use like the fabric we design, or we don't just use like certain things. We like a lot of stuff. How do you actually shop for fabric personally?
I wish I could say I had a really magic formula that I, you know, I do a certain amount, but the frightening reality is that I have a studio that is just stuffed with fabric.
Yeah.
I'm also in the very lucky position that I have wonderful fabric companies who send me things to play with, mm-hmm. which is so I do play with a lot of the fabric that I'm sent, but I don't use ranges. I even with my own fabric, I find it very difficult to just work with one range. I buy a huge range of different graphics. I love small and large prints. I love big, bold florals. If I find a big floral that I'm really in love with, I might buy 3 or 4 yards of it.
Right. Oh, okay, that's a lot of yardage then.
That's a lot of yardage. Yeah, but, you know, if I'm going to make a big quilt, and I do make big quilts, so I don't like little tiny quilts you can't use. You know, I may want a big border, I want a feature, and I might want a big strip of it down the middle of the backing or something mm-hmm. like that. I don't use boring fabrics on the back. I use, you know, fabulous fabrics because, hey, if the corner of the quilt turns over, you want that to be just as beautiful, don't you?
Right, right. Yeah, I'm learning that, Sarah. My backs used to be sort of, but I'm sort of picking up on doing something more spectacular on the back. I like what a lot of other people do. Where you,
yeah.
And do you make your back sort of match your front in colors or style?
In colors or style, perhaps. But, for example, there's a new quilt in the book, which is a very dark burgundy with a lot of applique and little piecing and stuff on the front of it. And on the back, it is bright mustard yellow with huge Tamaskif cats. So, ooh, you know, yes or no, maybe.
Yeah.
Sometimes they match and sometimes they don't. Matches are relevant.
Yeah, matches, you know, yeah. What is match anyways? What does
exactly.
match mean? Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Match. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today on the show. This has been absolutely fabulous.
Thank you for having me. It's always good fun, Pat.
And everybody can visit Sarah at either sarahfilkey.com or you can go to her blog directly, thelastpiece.tightpad.com. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we'll be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the WeWoven's Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy the Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolate with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Get quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Next, I have the editors from American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, Jennifer Keltner and Jody Sanders, who have a two-part segment for us this afternoon. It is called Ready, Set, Quilt, How to Prepare Your Quilts by putting all those layers together, what you need to know. So let's listen in on the first segment.
Ready, Set, Quilt. Whether you quilt a project yourself or send it to a professional long arm quilter, you'll get better results if you prepare it properly. And I like to say, Jody, that just like painting a room, most of the work happens before you ever take a stitch.
Yeah, that's right. I think the first thing let's talk about maybe is preparing your quilt layers. How do we get this thing ready to go? And one of the things that you want to do is to make sure that both your batting and your backing is at least 6 or 8 inches wider and longer than the quilt top. And you can confirm this measurement with your quilter if you're sending it out to someone to be quilted by them. But in most cases, they're going to want an extra 6 to 8 inches on both sides, a total on both sides, so that you've got plenty of room on that backing and batting when they put that quilt top on.
And especially if you've ever tried to load a quilt onto a long arm machine, cutting it close or skimping on this measurement really doesn't help you at all. It makes it very difficult to line up the quilt straight on the rollers, and it just makes it tough when you get to the edges of your quilt, and you don't want to drop off the quilting as you get close to the borders because you were too close to the backing fabric. So don't skimp there. And all of our instructions always do include that extra allowance. And it's especially important on the backing of your quilt that you want to have that extra space. Sometimes I know it's tempting to try to eke it out and use the selvages on the fabric to get to that extra. But really, it's not a good idea because that's more tightly woven. So that's a great rule of thumb. The other thing you want to make sure of is that the quilt top lays flat. And of course, using consistent quarter inch seams and pressing the seams to one side and watching for any place that seams twist or cause a bump. And often this happens when you're joining your rows together and things get caught under the presser foot and get headed in the wrong direction. But you can fix those things before you send your quilt top out or before you sit down to baste your layers together. And it's time well spent because you'll have a much easier time quilting your quilt top if your seams are pressed. And again, in our instructions in the magazines and the books that we publish, we do tell you which direction to press the seams every step of the way so that you have that taken care of. And it's important to pay attention to those details in a pattern that you're making.
One of the other things you're going to want to make sure that you do before you send or before you layer that quilt is to make sure that you've clipped all the loose threads, any pieces of fabric, or trim those dog ears off. Sometimes you can see those through when the actual quilting process takes place, and you don't necessarily know it when you're just looking at your quilt top. But it's really important to clip all those loose threads. Any of that can cause a shadow behind the lighter fabrics that you have if you don't remove them. And loose fabric can also bulk up in a quilt, and it can make it look real bumpy and not very nice and flat, which is the look that you're going for.
Repairing any raveling seams and stay stitching quilt top edges is important as well. And I think stay stitching used to be something that we were all taught in home ec class, but it really has fallen by the wayside. And if people haven't taken a class before, it was mostly done in garments that I think that people learned that technique. But what it means is stitching around the outer edge of your border to make sure where you have those seams that come together that seams don't come undone. And often we don't backstitch as we're getting ready to sew things together. We're just sort of piecing as fast as we can. But going around the outside of your quilt top all the way around, and again, making sure those seams are pressed in the right direction as you do that, a scant quarter inch from the quilt top edges to secure any unintersected seams. It'll prevent them from popping open when the quilt layers are loaded onto a long arm machine, or when you're pulling the machine about and just working with it in your lap, it'll keep those seams from popping open and coming undone. The next thing we're going to talk about are some of the do's and don'ts. And while we try not to have too many hard and fast rules when we're quilting and almost anything goes, there are a few tips that will make it easier for you to finish your quilt. And the first thing there is don't use sheets as a backing. This is something I think we saw more of back in the day, but some people still do it because they think it's an economical way to finish their quilt back. But the reason it's not advisable is sheets have a higher thread count than quilting cottons, and the difference can cause you to have skipped stitches or broken threads or even breaking your needle as you're machine quilting.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's a mistake that a lot of people make, and you usually make that mistake once and usually don't do it again. So we really do try and remind people not to do that, but it's not unusual to find people that will bring that to their machine quilter the very first time, and most experienced machine quilters will kind of explain why that's not such a great idea. One of the things that you also need to realize is that backing with a border or a piece backing the design, a reversible quilt, that all means that the quilt top needs to be centered with the backing for quilting. And a reasonable effort can be made to do this, but the quilt layers sometimes are shifting as they're rolled up. There might be bias in the quilt or quilt top that isn't quite square. These can all lead to where the backing might be off center.
And the other thing we're seeing more and more of, I think, in quilts at shows are embellishments being put on quilts, whether it's the little crystals or buttons or beading being done on the quilt top. And it's important to remember not to put those embellishments on until after the quilting is done, because you don't want to have to navigate around all of those pieces that might get broken during the quilting process. You could also break a needle or damage the quilt by getting that caught up in the needle. So if you have a desire to embellish your quilt with beads, crystals, that kind of thing, wait until the quilting is done, and then you'll hide the thread tails in the quilt and the batting and do that embellishing at the end.
And I think that's a really important note to make, because I didn't realize this, and I'd been, you know, gotten involved in some of the wool applique lately, adding a lot of the beads and embellishments, and then trying to figure out, how am I going to quilt this? How am I going to bump over these beads and some other things? So I think that's a really important point, because there are so many people getting into more and more embellishing right now. One thing you want to make sure that you do is to press the backing seams open, because there's no way that you can predict exactly where that seam lines is going to end up on the backing in relation to the quilt top seams. Sometimes most seams on the quilt top are pressed in one direction, and pressing those backing seams open prevents some of that bulk where those seams might overlap. You might want to use a half-inch seam or a quarter-inch seam, but not a scat quarter-inch seam for those backing seams. You want to make sure that you have a nice hefty seam there, and then you don't have to worry about that potentially coming open.
And again, don't be tempted to keep your selvages on your backing, because it is more tightly woven along the edges of the fabric, and you can really create a backing that puckers or is a little bit too narrow in the center where that seam is, where it comes together. The other thing is, don't baste your quilt layers together prior to loading them. If you're going to be using a long arm machine or taking them to a long arm machine quilter, that process is different from the sit-down sewing machine, so you would not want to baste a quilt together that was going to be stitched on a long arm.
I think we have four points that we kind of want people to think about or to ponder. If you're having somebody else do the quilting for you, you need to be sure and talk with them about the following things. And we've kind of come up with four that we think are good things that you need to have clarified or talk about ahead of time. The first thing is, discuss turnaround time. Realize that certain times of the year, such as Christmas or graduation, tend to be busier for them. So, you know, to really discuss what your timeline is, what the expectations are ahead of time, and then you're both on the same page as far as when you're going to get that completed machine-quilted quilt back.
And have some realistic expectations there, too. I think if you're planning your quilt for a special occasion and you want someone else to quilt it, getting on their list or their to-do list early is important if you have a date that you have to have your quilt done by. And realize that for different quilters, that time is different depending on how many projects they take on. Also, really critically examine your quilt top before you leave it with someone and point out any possible problems. If you know that there's something, a wavy border, multiple fabric types, you've combined some wovens with some stretch fabrics or something like that. There are lots of bias edges which can easily stretch or something like that. All those things can lead to puckering during the quilting process. So if your quilter is aware of that, and you know you've pointed it out to them, they'll make every reasonable attempt. But you also need to realize that some things simply can't be quilted out.
The third thing that we want you to think about is, determine how those loose items, things like there might be lace or prairie points, a flange, There might be some applique. There might be photos printed on fabric, some embroidery. How do you want those areas handled? Do you want those areas quilted over? Do you want them quilted around those particular areas? Be clear about whether you want those areas quilted or not, and then you'll both be happy with the outcome. Give your quilter an idea of what your expectations are ahead of time.
And I think that's the key, is really sharing your expectations and having that discussion. If you're unsure about how you'd like your project to be quilted, ask your quilter for suggestions on design and thread options. And most professional quilters that I know will either have a book or something online that you can look at, or photographs of projects that they've done, so that if you really don't have an idea of where to start, you can see the kind of work that they've done, and you might see something that sparks an idea of what you want to do. And you also should make it clear to your quilter, or if you're doing the project yourself even, what kind of presentation you want the thread to make. Do you want the thread to blend in with the quilt top so that it's not the focal point? Or do you really want the thread to stand out and to pop off the quilt top so that when people see it, they're like, oh my gosh, that machine quilting is incredible? Because there are different choices that can be made in that area that would really give you very different results depending on what your intention is.
And I think it can make a difference. You may want different thread colors in different areas. If you have both dark and light areas of your quilt, if you want that quilting to really show up, you may use the opposite thread color in those areas. It doesn't have to be one thread, or it could be just one variegated thread. You could use multiple threads on the same quilt top.
You bet. You bet. And those are the kinds of things that if you talk about them up front, professional quilters really want satisfied customers at the end of the day. And I think often when there's some dissatisfaction on one part or the other, it's because of differing expectations and they weren't clearly outlined in the front. So these ideas are really just things that we suggest you discuss with your quilter and not drop it off in a bag and say, whatever you want to do is fine with me. And then you pick it up and you're disappointed because it's not what you had in mind. Even though you might not have known exactly what shape you wanted something really intricately quilted, or you wanted something that was very casual or very washable because it was a baby quilt. So I think those are all things to keep in mind. All great points, but there's more that we have to share. So we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the design decisions you make when you're putting your quilt top under the needle for the first time.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Stone. We'll be right back after the break.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts and More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting editors Jennifer Keltner and Jody Sanders talk about how to prepare your quilt. And this segment's on design decisions.
Okay, so in the last segment of Ready, Set, Quilt, we talked about ways that you could prep your quilt layers together, some of the do's and don'ts, and some of the things you should think about if you're handing your quilt over to a professional quilter. And now we're going to move into some of the design decisions that you make when you're quilting your quilt top. And these are relevant whether you like to do the quilting yourself or you're having someone else do it. So let's talk first about the personality of the quilt. And every quilt has a personality to it, and you see something when you look at it. So really take a good look at the quilt that you've made and think about, is it a formal or traditional quilt? Do you want it to be whimsical or maybe have a modern aesthetic to it? Is it something that's going to be an elegant display piece at an anniversary party? Or is it a casual quilt that you're sending off to college with a son or daughter? And consider stitching motifs or designs that match the mood of the quilt that you have come up with.
Well, and once you've determined that, then you need to take a look at what's the quilt's intended use. And the recipient. Are you making a quilt for a baby or a child that's going to get plenty of use and likely will be washed and dried a lot? In this case, an all-over design might be the best. Is it an heirloom quilt that will be displayed on special occasions, like you just mentioned, maybe an anniversary party or something like that? Then you may want more elaborate quilting. That may be called for in that case, but really evaluate how it's going to be used and who your recipient is. If you're making a quilt for a college student for them to take and put on their bed, you don't want to have a lot of intricate quilting because you know that it's probably not going to, it's going to be used a lot, washed and dried, and you want to make sure that you haven't spent probably a lot of money on something like that when it's going to get a lot of everyday use.
And I think, too, the look of the quilt that you have when you're done. I prefer to wash and dry all of my quilts, even if I'm using them as a wall hanging, because I like when you have a lot of quilting on it, I use a cotton batting or a mostly cotton batting so that it shrinks up a little bit. I like the puckered look of antique quilts. And if that's something that you like sort of that puckered aesthetic that you get after you wash and dry it, then you probably want to add more quilting to your quilt top because the more stitching that you have on there, the more it's going to pucker up and have that look. If you prefer something that maybe doesn't have such heavy quilting on it and you're not going to wash and dry it, maybe it's a wall hanging and you just really want to go around the shapes on the fabric or on the appliques that you've chosen, that can also give you a very different look. One of the suggestions that we like to offer is to keep a three-ring binder of quilting designs, including sketches or printouts of designs you want to try. And if you're practicing your machine quilting, you could even keep actual stitch-outs of patterns that you've mastered. Now, you'll find in all the issues of American Patchwork and Quilting, we always give you that little quilting diagram along with the photograph of it so that you can really see some detailed stitch patterns and some ideas and inspiration. So those are a great thing that you can keep or flag as well if you like them. If you're sending your quilt out to be finished, see if your quilter has a book like that, that she can show you all over edge-to-edge designs that she does. There may be free motion designs or even pantographs. And if you're not familiar with pantographs, those are patterns that you roll out behind a long arm machine and follow with a laser stylus. So there are lots of options out there, and you really just sort of have to keep a book like you would of home decor, where you keep design ideas or rooms that you love. Keeping stitching designs that you love or patterns you'd like to try can sometimes jumpstart your motivation when you sit down to stitch and give you an idea of, oh, I've always wanted to try this sort of all over swirl or a feather design or some sort of geometric.
And I think it's sometimes kind of amazing where you'll find those inspiration for quilting patterns, because I've seen some blogs lately too where people are taking pictures of different architecture and using those as quilting designs or quilt patterns. And, you know, just look around. You'll be very surprised at sometimes when inspiration will strike. I think another thing is to get creative with your custom quilting. If you want more than an all-over design, consider, you know, having some custom quilting done on your top. It can range from anything from stitching in the ditch to feathered wreaths to interlocking circles, any kind of shapes like that. And if you're sending a quilt out to be finished, see if your quilter has photos of some custom quilts that they've previously done, or take her some photos of some quilts that you've seen in shows and that you've really liked or that you want to emulate that kind of look in your quilt.
And I think there have been some great new books come out recently about quilting and machine quilting, continuous line designs, and really investigate those resources, because often what you see in finished quilting looks so different from how something is put together. And I think here about you were talking about interlocking circles, and there's an orange peel design that people see and think, oh my gosh, it's these interlocking circles and how do they keep them so even? And it's actually just wavy lines done across the quilt top, and where the lines intersect going horizontally and vertical is where those circles appear, but they're not really stitched on as circles. So if quilting is new to you or you're trying to develop more intricate skills, having a quilting book that shows you step by step and the actual direction that you're going to stitch, and having that thought before you sit down. And I think that's really the key to all of these quilting suggestions we're talking about in these segments today, is sometimes having a plan ahead of time and really knowing what you're going to do. I think as quilters, we often sit down and think, well, great machine quilters just, you know, sit down at the machine and fire it up, lower the, you know, feed dogs, and they're off to the races. But most quilters that I know who are really good at what they do really do spend the time to think ahead of time like this and to plan what it is they're going to do.
Well, and they're actually planning that as they're planning their quilt top. And it's a design decision that's made at that time. I think for me, so often, it's the end. I've got the quilt top done. Okay, now what am I going to do? And that gets me stuck. And so, again, I end up with a UFO or an unfinished object because I don't know what to do. And if you're taking that into consideration at the very beginning, when you're actually putting your quilt design together, then you know what you're going to do, and it's just another step in the process.
You bet. I call those summer weight quilts, not UFOs. I just figure they're lightweight, and they'll get their batting and their winter weight later.
Well, and one of the things you talked about, too, that, you know, like the orange peel design with that being a wavy design, the thing that really turned the light on for me when I saw that was, as you talk about that being a big wavy line, I saw in a book where they had that colored in red and then they had it colored in green when they came back the opposite direction and finished that opposite kind of wavy line to make that circular design. And I think things like that in books are so helpful. You don't necessarily always see that, but when that was colored that way, that was really, it really turned the light on for me to say, oh, that's how they did that. That really isn't that hard.
Right. The other thing for me is parallel lines on a border that look kind of like piano keys. And I thought for a long time, well, how do they stop and start, and where do they hide all those threads? Well, it didn't occur to me that they were traveling in the ditch along the border, on the inside of the border, and in the seam allowance that I couldn't see once the binding was put on the outside of the border. So it was really just sort of a back and forth design that looked like a bunch of single straight lines that I couldn't see the beginning or ending to. So let's wrap up this segment today talking about some tips for stitching on a long arm. For those of you who have a long arm or have always wondered what that's like, we have a few tips from Nancy Schar, who's a machine quilter that we use for a lot of the color options that we have in the office. And a few things that are different on a long arm are to use the clips that come with the machine to hold the backing taut. If you're ever at a show and you see long arm quilts, there are some clamps kind of things that look like they're almost bungee cord attached to, and they hang there and you wonder, well, what are those for? Well, you use those along the side edges of the quilt because it's held taut in the rollers at the top and bottom. But those clamps on the side keep your backing and batting together and out of the way.
And one of the things you might want to do at the very beginning also is kind of test the combination of the thread, the needle, and the tension in the batting itself, and just kind of do a little test run before you actually start on the quilt top. And that'll kind of help you check that tension to make sure that the thread isn't going to break.
The other thing she always recommends, and this is true whether it's a long arm or a sit-down machine, is take regular breaks to give your body and your eyes a periodic rest. I think often we get all tensed up when we're sitting at the machine or standing at the long arm, and I know I grip the handles tighter, or I'm hanging onto the quilt with what one of my friends calls the death grip as I'm trying to move it underneath the needle. And really, if you just relax and just enjoy the process and think about only the part that's under the needle at any given point and not about, you know, the king-size quilt that's laying off to the left or where your mind is wandering, but just relax and enjoy the process and don't grip anything too tightly.
One of the things that I think we need to do, whether it's machine quilting or we're sewing on our domestic sewing machine, is check those dull needles. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of changing out that needle and getting a fresh new one in there. We suggest changing it about every 8 hours. You have to determine kind of what you're working with, and if you're working with different kinds of fabric, what works best for you. But just like changing a blade in the rotary cutter, it seems like we don't change those dull needles often enough.
Right. And if you're struggling with the tension of your threads, your top and bottom tension is off, oftentimes you just need to rethread the machine. I think we start changing the dials and moving things around, and we just got something misthreaded. So before you reinvent the wheel, just take your thread spool off, take your bobbin out, rethread everything, and start fresh. And you'll find that you can balance that tension pretty quickly by making those simple changes.
And if all else fails, consult your manufacturer's instruction booklet. You know, I think a lot of times we get that and then we kind of put it in the box and set it aside and try and struggle through. And oftentimes, if you've got a new needle and you've rethreaded it and you've checked your tension, you just need to go back to that manufacturer's instruction booklet and see if there's something else you've missed.
And remember, this is supposed to be fun. This is our free time. This is our enjoyable hobby. Nobody was an expert quilter the first time they sat down or stood up at a long arm machine. It just takes practice, like anything. So get out one of your quilt tops. We hope we've inspired you to sit down and practice and to enjoy machine quilting and to get things prepped properly so that you can enjoy the whole process.
Wasn't that an absolutely fabulous segment on putting your layers together? This year we have a huge focus on quilting, doing your own quilting, things you need to know. What I loved best, my favorite part of their whole chat, was thinking about my quilt having a personality. I could really relate to that. Well, next week we have another new show, so be sure you visit us at allpeoplequilt.com. I'm Pat Sloan, your host. My website is patsloan.com, and we'll see you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.